Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we have Ikes Medina, a brand impact strategist transforming business owners into impact-driven entrepreneurs. Ikes leads Ikes Medina Creatives, focusing on strategic brand development to help entrepreneurs establish a strong market presence. With over a decade of experience, Ikes guides businesses in enhancing brand visibility, engaging customers, and driving growth. A passionate advocate for sustainable branding, Ikes believes in turning passion into profit. I've asked her to join us here today to share her story and insights on branding, entrepreneurship, and making a meaningful impact in today's competitive market. So, Ikes, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Thank you so much, Darrow, and I appreciate the invitation to be here. And I'd love to share as much I know and be able to just spread the love to
Hey, I
all
believe
the
that. I like
spread the
that.
love, yeah, to all our fellow entrepreneurs out there.
This is a bit of a sidebar, but I have multiple marketing channels that I use. And one of them is cold email outreach. And I got a weird reply. Someone replied and was like, no, thank you. Not interested, which is fine. It's okay. But they said, by the way, I don't think saying sending love in a cold email is professional. And I thought, no, I think it's exactly what I want to say. Because if somebody tells me that, I don't want you as a client. Sending love, have a great day. That's not professional. What? Like, I don't need that problem. So, anyhow, let's share some love today and let's love on our fellow entrepreneurs. Because before we had free capital systems and free markets, it was peasants and kings. And so we created the middle class through small businesses, small and medium sized businesses, through entrepreneurship. So let's love on the small business owner for a while. I think that's a great idea. So how did you get into this? Is this sort of like a family trade? Were your parents in branding and marketing and that and sales, or?
I actually say that part of it may be my parents are both in advertising. When I was growing up, my dad was part of the executive team in an advertising agency for over 2 decades. And my mom, although she graduated in the same field, which is advertising, she actually turned to interior decoration. So she was the one who was actually an entrepreneur in the family. More than the fact that she actually does the interior decoration, she does murals, she teaches as a profession. And at the same time, from time to time, she would have bursts of ideas of wanting to start a business. And that's actually where all these spark from. She's a small business owner and in her own way. She started her own cupcake business with hand-painted designs and all that cute little stuff. More than that, she also does like bazaars and stuff, selling a lot of things. So she is just like any small business owners out there, serial entrepreneurs, as we would call them. They keep on starting. They are risk takers. They are those who want to actually turn their passions into profit. But more than that, they are really investors in their businesses. So very much decision makers. And those are the, when I was actually going through this phase in my career, I thought that those are the types of people that I want. My mom was actually my avatar. She was like, okay, she's a decision maker. She is an investor in her business, very much risk taker, but at the same time, calculated risk takers, of course. And they really do value the partnership for whoever they are working with or doing business with. So it didn't really trigger me to start my own business until I learned that back in college, I actually am an undergraduate of mass communication. But the thing was, like, I'm studying this, I'm doing this, but what is it for me in life after this? So I'm more like, I want to be somebody right now. And I was just 19 back then, but I was like trying to like rush things. But at the same time, I guess I was just trying to anticipate what's in it for me. And when I bargained my last year in college with starting up my own design studio. She said yes. And she's okay. Yeah, let's do this. So the whole career path didn't start me being an employee. It started me as being the boss immediately. I'm like, oh, okay, this is nice. But yeah, like
when you're your own boss, they say you have the worst boss ever because they accept all your excuses. They let you cut corners, right?
Yeah.
They don't necessarily push you or hold you accountable.
And in a way, like, you wake up like, oh, I own my own time. Like at an early stage, you really own
it's
your
exciting.
Own time. It's exciting.
But then when you're not making money, you're like, oh, I don't know how to manage my time. I can put it in a calendar, but yeah.
But what now? Yeah.
What now?
That's exactly what happened. Because when I was like, okay, now I'm here at the top, but what exactly what is happening right below? Meaning not necessarily the employees, the staff and all, but what exactly does the customer want from me? Because I wanted this, but what does the customer want at the start of the day, at the end of the day? So that's when I started feeling, okay, I'm gonna switch it or flip it 360 degrees. That's when I started researching more into what is the customer journey. And that made me start working as an employee. But on the side, my design studio is still running, but is now home based. And people will still come and go asking for design works, photography works. But at the same time, now I'm like in the front line. I want to be learning what it is to take care of the customers or what it is that they want. So the first thing that I grabbed was during that time around 2005, I think the biggest industry back then was like in the business processing outsource industry, BPOs or call centers, as they would be usually known for or famous for. So I started as a customer service support representative for a computer company. And being someone who's very much interested into tech, I'm like, okay, let's try this. This is going to be easy. I'm like, I'm boss, right? But yeah, we can be boss here. But at the same time, let's see, what exactly do these customers want?
Right.
And that's like a culture shock at the same time. Because that's when you actually find out, oh, okay, they have complaints, they have feedbacks, they have all the things that I don't know exactly on my first day. Even my nickname was actually a source of confusion. Hi, this is Ice. How may I help you? What's your name?
Right.
So even that would actually confuse some people. So those little things, it didn't really trigger like a negative impact on me, but more of, okay, this is a good feedback. I have to take notes of what exactly the customers are confused about, because computers are never buying customers, right? So
right.
I take notes. I love feedback. And when they say that, when they try to make you repeat what you just said, maybe I'm too fast when I was talking, or maybe I'm mumbling, so I have to enunciate and all that. And then eventually, learning from it, I think I got a little recognition for loving what I do, because I love learning. So a few months later, I became an actual tech support representative. Oh my goodness, I don't even know computers, but here we go. I love computers, but I'm like, I don't know what's inside them, but let's go. And right there, I was like, at the same time, this is what I need to know, and this is me. But I am catching up because I love learning. So every time the day would end, I would learn more about the product. I don't just log in or log out, sign in and sign out of the day. I tend to spend my laid back hours instead of just relaxing and doing nothing. I would love to learn. So I started learning more about the different models of the computers we were supporting. And then eventually, even if I was someone who had no certification whatsoever in networking, they believed And it's not every day that someone would actually believe in you. And it lasted me years in that company to the point wherein I started believing in myself more. Yeah, I can do this. And at the same time, it's not just the career path that is growing. It's more of learning now the customer journey, getting deep inside it. The research has become the whole career path, actually, which is really amazing. Because the whole research, if I would say, is my whole career. Because now I know exactly where the customers are coming from, and then how to nurture them, how to handle in the event that they would actually fall into maybe what they call an escalation, where they are really mad about the product or the service, but you have to de-escalate them and keep them loyal to your brand, to your business. And eventually, coming back to, okay, now I'm done. I think I'm done with the research. I went back into branding. I went back to applying for a job in a corporate scene, same BPO industry, but I'm no longer an agent. I'm no longer a representative. I worked as a brand assistant for one of the BPO companies locally. And it made me realize that, okay, so all that research is culminating into something that's called brand strategy. You really have to know first the core of your brand so that you understand how to take care not only of your business at the end of the day, but your customers, because they are the heart of your business. Without your business is just a name or a logo or a color. But who makes money? It's the customers. They bring in the business, right? So what is it that they want, and what is it that you can give to them with all your heart? That's the reason why let's give love today, right? It's not just about, okay, push push guerrilla marketing style. This is our services. You buy one, get one for free. No, it's not like that. What are the benefits? What is it that they will remember you for? That's the reason why most of the brands, like, let's say Nike, they're not just remembered because of the swoosh or the name itself. It's because you can do anything, because they said that you just do it. With them, you can do it. It's something like that. It's what I wanted to always tell serial entrepreneurs. You have so much passion in you. You have so much like energy in you. You want to risk it all, but have calculated risk at the same time, because you want to make sure that everything you bring out to the world is something that will leave a memorable impact. And it's not just like, let's scale, let's do business. Results are like high. So, like, sales are so high. But at the end of the day, are they remembering you, or are you always having the need to get new or acquire new customers versus retention? I'd rather have word of mouth, organic, like people talking about your product all day long, and that's free advertisement, versus you always paying for advertisement just to get new customers.
Yeah, I think there's a good point here. So one is quality is paramount. Like you said before, all a business is a group of people that solve the pain of another group of people, and they do it via a product or service. So that is a really key critical piece to this. And then on top of that, like you said, you ideally want to do solve not just a single problem, but be the ambassador for the customer for that area of their life. For example, if you install pools, that might be a one-time event, but the pool requires maintenance. Maybe the kids need swimming lessons. Maybe they need a fence put around and they need landscaping done. And what you're doing is you're taking the problem of we want to have a pool for some of the kids to do and play in. And now you're turning that into a long-term ongoing relationship with that person. And I think that's really important and powerful because if it's very, unless you're managing to have a great location and have high volume transactions, imagine if for a lot of people, if you got a job, imagine if you had to get a new job every month to make pay, like that would just be tough. On the flip side of that, though, I think some people really limit themselves by only relying on word of mouth. And the reason for that is if your business is good at what it does, and I consider it like a black box, you have this little black box, and I like to use a dentist. Someone's crying, their face is hurting, their teeth are in pain. Oh, they're so sad. And you have this black box that if they just come inside, you'll take care of them and they'll leave smiling, happy, pain-free, beautiful teeth on the other side. And so as a service to the world, and to have the highest impact you can have with your life, you should find all the people you can help. In fact, you should be helping so many people that you have, I don't want to say high refunds, but you have a strong refund rate. And I don't mean strong in sense of high, but strong in the sense of consistent. And the reason why I say that is because if people are not trying it and feeling safe trying it, knowing they can get their money back, then you're not helping people as much as you could. Now, it depends, services versus products. So it's more of a product example. If you have a great product, you want people to be trying it. You want people to be testing it out. If you have no refunds at all, that's terrible. That means that you're not getting enough people to try it. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Not that you need a 20% refund rate. You want people to do that. It's a fit for to be very happy. But you don't want to have no refunds because that's a sign that you're not helping enough people that you could be. Yeah.
It's more of a guarantee. No worries. This is a guarantee, maybe 30-day guarantee, 60-day guarantee. The moment that they try it within that span of time and they know that they can get a refund, or it's more of giving them an assurance, that idea of assurance versus the actual refund that they're gonna get. It's more of a play, but at the same time, it's a guarantee and an assurance for the customers that you will be there regardless of what happens to the product or the service.
Like you would hope a friend would. You don't expect your friend to never make mistakes or to never invite you to something that you're not really hot about. Hey, that movie sucked. I don't know why I came. But at the same time, you want it to be cool.
Yeah.
So I love your emphasis on the customer journey, because I think that's such an important thing, because to me, you're not looking at it as a one-time transactional, but the whole lifetime relationship. And I also love that your emphasis on frontline experience, because we all know big brands that have disappeared because they just lost touch with the customer. And they became so removed and they had so many layers of people in between that they just completely became disconnected.
So,
what are some of the biggest mistakes people are making? I'm being handed some coffee here. What are some of the biggest mistakes that people are making with their brands that you see and their brand strategy?
Number one is that right now it's usually a game of numbers. They want likes, they want all the followers, they want all that. Please like my page, please follow me here, follow me there. The thing is, it's not necessarily that your family members or friends would be your target audience. So having 1,000 followers, but no quality, meaning not really your target audience, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Your numbers game would not make any sense.
It's like the days of the follow me, I'll follow you back. Okay, but are you going to buy my stuff? Great. Right. But are you going to buy my stuff? Are you going to actually engage?
Exactly.
Are you a valuable person to have following me? I just mentioned before that lady said, stop eating. I'm not interested. Cool. Bye. I don't want you. I don't want you as a client. If I show up and say, hey, send in love, and you tell me that's unprofessional, you've got some draw in my mind. I'm like, we're not going to vibe. We're not going to vibe. Right. I'm going to have HR. I was too nice to them. And now she feels like she's not safe in the school. I'm like, no, that's just how I am. I'm a super friendly guy and I'm trying to spread love around the world. If I can't say that, that's a red flag for me. It's a red flag. Who wants to sit in an office with a bunch of grumpy people that can't be nice to each other? What is that?
And wouldn't it be nice to sign off something that it gives you a little bit of boost when you say, hey, rooting for you, and then you sign off Daryl? Or maybe for me, I would always sign off like, hey, your new business cheerleader, or like your new cheerleader, because I am always cheering up, regardless if you're a very small startup or like a small to medium business. It doesn't matter to me. I'm gonna be like your cheerleader, number one fan, every single day. And I would sign off like that.
Right.
Somebody would probably call me out for being unprofessional. I don't care.
That's
Why?
okay.
Because that's my personality.
Right.
It's like a mix or a line between be yourself, but at the same time, do not be yourself. I'd rather be me.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. It's like lying. It's too hard to keep up a lie, and it's too hard to pretend to be someone you're not. So just be
I love
you. The world will adjust, and there's plenty of fish in the sea. That's why I say you got to be willing to go out there, shake hands, kiss babies, and
that.
solicit your services. But you have to know who it's for and who it's not for, and get tactful at it. And
Yeah.
sometimes it's just like an awkward thing you got to work through. So I think that's powerful. What other mistakes are people making with their brand? So it's not about numbers. That's the first one, because I know I went on a bit of rant. So first, it's not about numbers. It's about
Yeah,
quality and the who is following you. And then aside
right.
from that,
Aside from that, whenever I talk about branding, people would always think, oh, it's the logo, it's the fonts, it's the colors. No, it's about the heart of your business. So what exactly is your brand? When I talk about that, and they would show me like their logos or the color schemes and all the fancy stuff. No, talk about your brand. Who are you? What do you do? And that's exactly what we're going to talk about. That's the story that we're going to tell your
Your
customers.
story.
Yeah. So it's more about telling their story versus just showing them the fonts, the colors, the logos. It's not that. It is part of branding. It is. Yeah. It's called identity. But at the same time, before all that, you have to start with who and why you are doing all these. That's the heart of your business.
I love that. Who and why? All things considered equal, people want to do business with their friends. All things not equal, people still prefer to do business with their friends. And part of it comes back to that refund thing, where because they just feel there's a greater sense of they'll be smooth in the event of things going wrong, it'll be smoother to sort that out. And I think that's a big part of why people prefer friends over the unknown. The
Right.
devil you know versus the devil you don't know, I think is a big
Oh,
part of that.
lesser evil. Choose the lesser
Right.
evil, they say. Yeah.
So I love that. We talked about story. Not just your story, of course, your story, who and why, but their story, which is part of the customer journey. That is such a thing. I think people may have missed that. Can you talk a bit about that a bit more? Why would you talk about their story and not just your business and your story?
Why? Because who would be interested in your story specifically? People want to engage with things that they can relate to. They buy through emotions, and that's the reason why you would want to tap into what they actually feel, what they actually can relate to. So if you're talking all about yourself, it's like listening to a friend who talks about themselves all day. But if that friend starts talking about something about what it's like similar to what you are experiencing, all the more that you would listen, right? All the more that you'd be engaged. And that's the reason why you want to talk more about not only your story, but more of what their story is about. That's the reason why you would see businesses who would say, have you been like this? Are you feeling like this? Because they know that they are tapping onto their customers' emotions, tapping into their customers' stories more than just, this is us. Oh, by
Right.
the way, we're 100% yay, right? No.
Right.
Yeah, you try to talk about, try to listen, yeah, try to listen more with their stories and what they are struggling with. And that's where you start learning more about where the problem is coming from, where your solution will actually fit.
I agree 100%. If I sat someone down and I gave them a 300-page book that was the story of their life, that I went and did the research and I interviewed the people and I talked to them and I went through the photo albums and they didn't know, and I just showed up with this 300-page book and it was the story of them and their life and where they were born, and there's the clip of hair from their parents' baby book they made, and here's
Yeah.
where I said your first word and it was this. They would read every letter of every word on every
Exactly.
page and be just flabbergasted. Now, if
Exactly.
you could do that for your customer client, tell those stories or small pieces of stories, but then you pair in your product, service, as a tool or a partner or the magical sword that helps the hero vanquish the dragon. Now you, like you say, you're aligning them with them and you're creating that synergy. I think that's great. I think that's really great. A man that's been on Craig Jacobson's been on our show before. He's probably one of the best marketers. He's one of the top. He's definitely in the top. And he talks about there's two stories that you need to tell. There's the attraction story, the story that you're telling that people want to listen more. And I think it relates to what I just said. The more your story is their story, the more attractive it is. And then there's your conversion story, which is the story you tell that gets them to decide or walks them through deciding to do business with you.
Exactly.
And I think that's a really powerful tool. And especially when we come back to, you're talking about being on the front lines, like face to face, kneecap to kneecap, maybe not belly to belly, but you get it with your customers.
Yeah.
And thinking of the whole journey, even before they come to you, that's really powerful.
Thank you.
What do you see happening with all this technology that's coming out? We've got all this new technology, there's AI, there's just huge advancements in everything. Do you think it's going to impact things a lot?
Yes, in a positive way, in a negative, maybe. I've always been going through this like trend of AI everywhere. I'm like, I even saved some. Why? Because they're very useful. Why not? But at the same time, at one point, AIs are there because they've been trained to actually help us be more efficient with what we do. So we use them as a guide. Why not? Right? But don't use it as a copy paste, of course. You still have to bring in your personality because not every time the AI would be perfect because it's computer generated.
Right.
But at the same time, on a negative sense, people would actually see it as, oh my goodness, it's going to take away my job. I can do graphics. I can do writing. I can do every single thing. But it's not that. How I see it is like the more that you are actually up to date with what's innovating and what's new and upcoming, you actually are on top of your game. And you blend with it, you go with the wave, you learn as AI grows, learning as well. Speaking of AI and other technologies out there, you don't be scared. You're not supposed to be scared with those innovations and technologies. You just have to actually learn along with it. And do not resist it. It is there meant to help you, meant to guide you as a business owner. Use it as a guide. Use it as some way of not letting you get mental blocks, not letting you stop your productivity. Because if you're going to go through the whole traditional way of doing things, it is okay, completely fine. But if you want to like spice things up or make it more efficient for you and your team, make things go faster, you can use AI. Why not? But if you want to add more personality, then marry both the traditional and marry the technology with it. And that's the reason why it's both a yes and no. For me, I married everything together. Like how I married my starting of the career as someone who's at the top immediately into learning what actually is happening in the customer journey. Now I know exactly how to navigate through the whole customer journey. So it's just like that. Like I wouldn't, if I was the one who created AI, say for example, I was at the top, but what exactly do people want to ask? Right. No, I wouldn't know that, right? So that's the reason why they are still learning. It's still like a learning phase. I think, if I'm not mistaken, AI was already there even like when the internet came out. So that was like what, early 90s?
Yeah,
or
I'm not
maybe
sure. Something.
Late 80s? Yeah.
Something.
So it was already there. We just didn't know. Even when you start Googling, when you go to Google, you ask things. Things pop up, like answers pop up, and we're resisting the AI technology.
Right.
It's like you're resisting what was already there. So why do we have to do that? We just have to be more flexible and then accept that we are just needing to actually be more open to learning. That way, we don't fall behind.
Well, we have to be excellent at what we do. We have to be
Exactly.
excellent at solving this, whatever problem we solve for people. And if it means we need to learn a new tool, we need to learn a new
Yes.
tool. Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. So that's really influential as well. Do you feel are some of the most important habits for a business owner to have to guide them on this path?
One of the top things in my mind right now is actually discipline. It doesn't matter if you wake up, some would say, wake up at 4 a.m., do this, do that. A good CEO, a good entrepreneur wakes up at 5 a.m. But it could be 5 a.m. for some. Say for me, I usually work nights, so 5 a.m. is like almost end of my day. So how would that happen? But it's more of the discipline of the moment you wake up, you start being grateful and grateful that you have another day to actually make new things, help new people. And that discipline is really hard. When you say waking up to what is your purpose for today, and learning the discipline of not being like cramming every single day is making sure it starts from there, because you are making sure that your day is almost flawless, almost seamless with time management. You may want your tools with you, or maybe you can do like pen and paper, but regardless, if you have prepared your day, regardless if you start at night like me, or you start your day in the mornings, then it doesn't matter. As long as the moment you wake up, you know that you have that discipline in you, everything would actually be working
Right.
perfectly, like a well-oiled machine, right?
Yeah.
Because that part of discipline is what you call respect for yourself. Because if you don't respect yourself, then you'd wake up feeling cranky, I'm feeling lazy, procrastinating, not even making your bed after you get up from bed. And that's the first task they say, right? One task down if you make your bed. So I'm like, even that is part of the discipline. And how would you be able to run your business if you can't even make your bed?
I love that. Discipline and consistency is the foundation of
Right.
results in everything in life. And I think that's really powerful. A lot of business owners don't get that because, like, a truck driver by law in almost every country has to get a certain amount of rest. They can't drive sleep deprived because
Right.
it's equivalent to driving drunk.
Exactly.
But a business owner who is on 4 hours of sleep every night, hustle and grind mode nonstop, they're stacking drunken decision making on top of drunken decision making. And the compound effect of that is a nosedive tailspin into catastrophe.
That is so true.
And it's impossible to feel true gratitude and thankfulness and feel fear and anxiety at the same time. So, what you just said is to start your day and clear the calculator with gratitude. And then go into your day, and you talked about self-care and self-love. And those are important because, as the leader of your business, you have to drive your business. And so I think that's just a really powerful message that, just like for your kids and stuff like that, which parent do they want? They want the parent that's like dying a faster death, because they're all dying, but do they want the parent that's disintegrating because they have terrible habits and they're just falling apart at the seams? Or do they want the best version of you? The best version of you means you got to get 7 to 8 hours of
Yes.
sleep every night. You got to get over 6,000 steps a day, ideally around 10,000 is not a bad number. 3 to 5 workouts a week, 800 grams of fruits and vegetables per day, and enough protein for your body weight. And those are just basic, like they've interviewed all sorts of people who have felt spiritual leaders who have felt they've achieved different tiers of enlightenment. And all of them say is even when you become enlightened, you still have to carry water and chop wood.
Exactly.
And it just means you just have to do the things that bring your life, like that, like the thing, the bedrock of fundamentals of being alive. You got to chop wood so you've got fire, and you got to carry water so you don't die. And
Right.
that's just, that never goes away. And I
Yes.
think so what you're talking about, that self-care is really important. And you mentioned time management. And I think this is important too, because if you can't fit it into your day, then maybe you need to learn new skills, like how to delegate.
Yes.
Are you doing the most highest impact things with your time? Necessity is the mother of invention. So if you can't fit it all into the day, now maybe you need to figure out a way to get it done. And
Right.
sometimes there's got to be some pain around that, or frustration, and friction, and that's how you're going to solve it. So I think that's great. One thing you didn't say that I would like to add is that it's not only time management, it's energy management. And
Exactly.
people forget that when you're best for certain tasks, and that's important as well. And also when we talked about getting enough sleep and getting your steps and exercising 3 to 5 times a week, part of why that is important in life in general, not just business, but if I can only run 1 mile and at the end of that, I'm exhausted. I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm going to take a nap right here on the ground. That's my energy gas tank I bring to every single day. But if I snap my fingers and now I can do 10 times as much, and I might be tired at the end, but I don't need to curl up in a ball and sleep at the finish line, I have 10 times the energy to bring to every moment of every day. 10 times the intensity, the ability to focus. And that's something that no productivity planner, no productivity tool can do for you. And I think that's an important thing that often gets overlooked. So great points. Great points. Ikes, this has been a great call. I think there's people may want to go back and listen to it more than once. I think there's some real gold nuggets in here. Is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
I don't know. I haven't had peanut butter. So I love peanut butter. Who doesn't? Peanut butter and jelly? Anyone? It's just fine around me. And it's fun working with me as well. So if I guess I am actually excited for a lot of business owners because it can be all serious at the same time. And me saying that I love peanut butter, you have to loosen yourself a bit.
Right.
And love what you want, love everything. That's the reason why we are here, to spread some
right.
Love for self-care, love for your business, and love for the customers. Because you have to have all those three. That way you don't get exhausted at the end of the day. And that's where you wake up for the next day. Reason why I do this, right?
Yeah. Even if you don't have I've said this to clients before, even if you don't have an ethical bone in your body, even if secretly you're a sinister, evil person, but your goal is to be in business long-term, the only way to do business is with ethics and love. Because like you mentioned, if you don't love on your customers, they're not going to come back to you. If you don't love on your staff, they're going to leave you for a better opportunity. You're not going to be able to attract talent. If you don't love yourself, you're going to fall apart and not be able to build the best business that you are capable of.
Exactly.
So it really is true. And some people, just like when they show plants at high speed, you see how active the plants are and the change. But when we watch it, we feel like they're not changing. Some people may feel like I didn't do that with love and I got away with it. That's just, you're looking at a small time scale. If you look on the big scale, look what's happening in the world right now after the pandemic. People are furious with tons of different agencies and institutions because they did not treat us with love. And the roosters, what is it? The crows coming home to roost or whatever. The roosters come. The karma is making its rounds, we'll just say. Just because your time frame, your perspective might be short, it doesn't mean it's not real. And I think that's a really important message, to do things with love.
Yes.
Ikes, if people want to learn more, if they want to get in touch, what are some of the best ways for them to reach out?
Oh, most definitely. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and that's all the same. Ikes Medina. A-I-C-X Medina.
Yeah, that's A-I-C-X, pronounced Ikes like yikes. A-I-C-X Medina, like funky, Cole Medina, M-E-D-I-N-A. You can go to Ikes Medina, AikesMedina.com. You can also look her up on LinkedIn and all the other social platforms. Ikes, thank you so much for joining us. It has been an honor and a pleasure having you here to share with us, knowing you have your own direct reports, your own projects to work on. Thank you for coming and sharing with all of us.
Thank you so much, Daryl. And it is such an honor to be here. And all the best. And to see you on the next side.